Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today. We are in Psalm 10. We've actually looked at the first six verses of it. And I want to go back and start at the verse 1 again and just read through it. Remember what he said in verse 1. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? And then he starts telling us what the time of trouble is, that the wicked are doing all sorts of things. And so we've looked at verses 2 through 6. But it actually goes, the description of what the wicked are doing goes through verse 11. So today I just want to read all of this in its totality to where we can get a complete understanding of the cry of the psalmist's heart to the Lord. I mean, he gets in quiet detail here. He continues in verse 2. In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boast of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All of his thoughts are, there is no God. Verse 5, his ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved throughout all generations. I shall not meet adversity. So this is what the wicked is doing. This is what the wicked is thinking. This is what's motivating. The wicked one says, there's no God. Wicked one says, I'm not going to be moved. Generation after generation after generation, he says, nothing's going to affect me. Nothing's going to happen to me. I'm not going to meet any type of adversity. No, he says, there is no God. So if there's no God, there's no adversity, adverse thing. There's nothing to come against me. This is what a wicked person feels. And the psalmist is saying, you know, in the pride of life, the pride of his face, it looks like it's true because he prospers all the time. He says, the psalmist said, God, your judgment's on high, but he prospers all the time. Now, verse 7, speaking of the wicked, his mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He, again the wicked, he says in his heart, God has forgotten. He's hidden his face. He will never see. Now, that's through verse 11 right there. The wicked is not the most consistent thinker, as we can tell, okay? Because at one point he says there is no God, right? And so that is likely what he's trying to convince himself of, that there is no God. But every human being, we know this from Romans, every human being knows that there is a God. Okay? They can deny him all day long. They can do whatever they want to. They can say it over and over and over again. But there is a God. Here we actually see major hints of that in verse 11. Because now the wicked says in his heart, you get that distinction? When people are listening, think, oh, yeah, there's no God. There's no God. There's no way. There's not a God. Nah. But in the stillness of his heart, he says, God is forgotten. He's hidden his face. He will never see. He's actually acknowledging that there's a God. But he's saying what? God's forgotten me. He hasn't seen it. He'll never see it. He's hidden his face. So I can continue doing these things. Did you see the things that he was doing? His mouth is filled with cursing, deceit, and oppression? Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity? Yeah. And so this is cursing way beyond using words which may not be appropriate in a particular language, okay? He does things that are bringing curses upon people. He is deceiving people. He is oppressing people. I know when you read this stuff, probably the primary folks that we're thinking of are two groups. I usually think of political leadership and religious leadership, right? But this is what evil does. Okay, they create mischief. They create iniquity in their tongue, under his tongue. In other words, it's stored there. It arises from there. And so he's speaking forth all this stuff. The next part is about being setting in ambush in villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. So is the idea that he's literally murdering innocent? Well, yes, perhaps. That he sits among the people in villages and he does that. It's probably a stronger understanding within the context right here that he sits in ambush in the villages among the people. He's sitting there watching. And he's waiting to execute that tongue he's got. And he's stealthily watching for the helpless, like a lion in the thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor, and he draws the poor into his net. He wants to draw poor into the net, not necessarily to kill them, but to entrap them. Folks, this is basically the socio-political economic system that we live within. Okay? We think it's great. We think it's wonderful. We think we're free. Well, if it weren't for the lying and stuff, we could be. But this is what the wicked does. And he says, those that are helpless, they're crushed down, they sink, they fall at the might of this guy. This is the pattern and practice of wickedness. And when you start seeing it manifested, when you start asking the Lord to give you eyes to see it, you're going to be shocked. I was thinking about that earlier today, sitting in the midst of a couple of worship services. And the word that was being proclaimed about some things, that we are so blinded as the body because we choose to see with our own eyes and we do not choose to see with the eyes of the Lord, I think because we're afraid of what we might see, what he might reveal. Yeah. So anyway, ask the Lord to reveal to you what wickedness is, the way that we've been acting wicked, and what he wants to do about it. Because I think he wants to do something, not only individually, but corporate within his body and beyond. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.